Classic Rock 102.9 MGK. It's Dave. It's Steve. We are sitting here chatting with a man that has made his home here in Philly since getting drafted by the Philadelphia Wings in 2011. The Wings have their season has started. They have their home opener coming up at the Wells Fargo Center this Friday, the 10th, 7 p.m. Kevin Crowley in the studio with us. Kevin, how you doing today, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in. So, You've really made your home here since you got drafted in 2011, right?
Right.
You're originally from, I guess, is it really just outside Vancouver?
Yeah, it's like 20-minute drive from.
Okay, so you're from.
He's a Canuck.
You're from Vancouver. You get drafted here in Philly, and you're coming from Western Canada to East Coast U.S. Now, I know you were East Coast U.S. before you went to Stony Brook up in New York. What's the difference coming from West Coast Canada, East Coast New York?
Well, that culture shock going from Vancouver to Long Island, mm-hmm. where Stony Brook is, was, crazy to say the least. Just a different pace of, everything that was going on, a lot faster pace. People tell you about New York and the East Coast. They tell you, people are a little bit colder out there.
Yeah.
But I didn't find that actually to be the case in Long Island. I thought the parents of, my teammates, They were great. They welcomed us in. They provide us with food. As a starving college student, you always appreciate that.
You had like a sports team mom.
Yeah, exactly.
The orange wedges.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
So, and then moving to Philadelphia, instantly fell in love with the city. One of the best places to be a professional lacrosse player. And
really?
There's not too many around, as the sport is right now. It's not as big as your big four sports.
Sure.
But something about Philly, man. They obviously love their sports teams, mm-hmm. and it's the same case for lacrosse players.
So you get drafted number one overall, Dave, in three different leagues.
I saw that. Oh, it was three. I saw two.
Right? NLL, MLL, and the WAL.
Yeah, the WLA, which is a semi-professional league back at home.
How's that feel? And what do you say to your friends back home? Hey, guys. Three-time number one draft pick.
Yeah. Well, I try not to brag too much about it, but it's a really cool thing because you see the other great players that go in the draft. Now I've been in the league for 9 seasons, and seeing how those careers unfolded after your rookie season, some guys aren't playing anymore. Some guys are at the highest level. So it's kind of funny to think about all sports teams and how they draft, and if their draft picks play out as they should.
Sure.
And I'd like to believe that I was a good draft pick.
Now, Steve is much more of a sports guy than I am. I'm completely ignorant to lacrosse, like a lot of people here in America.
Yeah.
The only things I know about lacrosse are both scandals. The Duke lacrosse case.
Oh, man.
Not to dig into the dirt. That's all I know. I don't think I'm alone in that. Why should the average sports fan, like I am, I'm sort of, just a casual fan of sports.
Right.
Why should we tune into lacrosse? What is there to like?
Yeah, I think there's a reason that it's one of the top sports in terms of growth at the youth level right now across America.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many parents come up to me who they have kids that play lacrosse. Now they go to a professional lacrosse game and they say to me, they're like, "Oh, I wish I had this sport growing up, and I wouldn't have played baseball, I wouldn't have played football, I would have been all in on lacrosse." Like the entertainment value of coming to a game, you have music playing the whole time, hard hits, the physicality of the game itself just lends itself to a great atmosphere. And, I think going back to those parents coming up to me, telling me, like, I want to play this. Like, I wish I had played this. My kids are
right.
Definitely all in on it. It's just, it really has great entertainment value for the whole family.
Gotcha.
Are you still coaching high school in the area?
Yeah, I coach at the Shipley School in Bryn Mawr.
How is that, translating your game from a professional standard to a high school standard? What's the difficulty in that, if there is any?
Yeah, you got to be a lot more patient. Some of the drills you can run, obviously, you want to take like, oh, these are professional-level drills.
Sure.
I'll just apply them at the high school level. Sometimes that doesn't translate all that well because,
right.
The stick work's not as good at the high school level. So, drop passes can slow drills down, so they're not as effective. But I think I've between coaching high school and coaching club lacrosse out in Westchester – in a program called Fusion Lacrosse,
mm-hmm.
I'm always in the game. If I'm not playing it, it seems like I'm always coaching it, and
right.
I think I'm able to balance that out for the appropriate age group.
Gotcha. So you've got 6 goals, and you guys are 2-1 in the season. You're coming off 2 straight wins. Do you set yourself goals throughout? All right, I'm going into this season. I want to hit this, this, and this. Each year, do you do that, and do they change?
Yeah, for sure. I think you, you know, like anything, you look at the schedule and you have an overall team goal of how many games you think you can win. And then personally, I have my goals, how many goals I want to score in a season, how many assists, how many points. But, you know, it's realistically, it's about winning games. Sure. And, you know, if I can hit my numbers, chances are that our team has a better chance to win those games. So that's kind of the mindset with it. And I try not to tell my teammates too much about, you know, how many goals I'm trying to score, because then they'll be like, why didn't you pass it to me? Yeah, was right. It because you're trying to get 50 goals this year?
Oh, number one draft pick over here.
Yeah, so I try not to tell them that. But, you know, I think the overall, everyone has their personal goals, but if they can achieve those, it's going to lend to the success of the team.
So you get drafted in 2011 with the previous Wings franchise. You're on the team, and they move the franchise to Uncasville, Connecticut?
Yeah, Mohegan Sun Casino.
What's the difference from Philly to a place like Uncasville, Connecticut?
Honestly, being in Uncasville, there's nothing around there.
Sure.
There's no, like, so you kind of feel like you're a circus that comes to town okay. once a weekend. Right. And, you know, the people are there as they check into the hotel casino.
Right.
They're like, oh, you know, there's a lacrosse game on here too. So you have fans out there that aren't knowledgeable about the sport, looking for, you know, a way to kill time.
Sure.
And did they bet on you?
I don't know if they're allowed to, if they were able to bet on the sports at that time.
That'd be a cool little hug.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. What's the over-under in today's game?
Oh, I'm sure they worked that in now
33.
With all the sports betting going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just wasn't, it didn't have the same atmosphere. And, you know, it sucks when you get booed by a Philadelphia fan, but,
sure.
you know, you also appreciate it. And as a Philadelphia sport fan yeah. myself, I've been on the other end, too, booing those guys.
Well, especially if they boo you while wearing your Wings jersey, right?
Yeah.
While you're playing for New England.
And then they ask for a picture and an autograph after the game. It's like, didn't I see you up there just booing me?
But, well, you've managed, you're back. You're back here in Philly. What was that feeling coming back, you get traded from New England back to the Wings, the new Wings franchise? How does that feel? It was a homecoming for you.
Yeah, it's tough to put in words because I know the pain that the original Wings fans felt when the team left in the first place. So being able to come back in the inaugural season of the new Wings, and, you know, just looking on warm up through the glass and seeing all the old Wings fans and their,
sure.
you know, some of them had the old jerseys on, someone had the new jerseys on, but it was just cool to see, like, so many familiar faces that have, you know, are excited for the Wings to be back. And then also with how involved I am in coaching in the community, having those young kids that I've been coaching for the past 5 years, 6 years,
sure.
and seeing them come out. And, you know, it's just, it's really an awesome experience to kind of feel like you get to back up what you're coaching these guys.
Yeah.
Sure.
So when regular season ends in April, right? How long do the playoffs go if you guys were to make the playoffs and, you know, to the championship?
Mid-June, early June.
All right. So how does that work? Are you still playing with the MLL, which is an outdoor
yeah.
league, in the summer, right?
Yeah, I am with New York right now.
So how does that work with your Wings obligations and then the start of, because that starts in late May, early June?
Yeah, they changed it to come right after Memorial Day weekend now because they had that overlap in the All past. Right. So a lot of the guys who played in the NLL weren't able to make the first three or
okay.
five games, depending on how late you went into the playoffs. So now there is overlap. But
you're
only
like
if
Bo
you go...
Jackson and Deion Sanders playing, you know, same sport, but
he looks
two
very remarkably
like yeah,
the same,
you.
Too.
Thank you. Same same athleticism and everything.
Nose. It's a 30 for 30.
Yeah, right. I like that. Yeah, they've gotten rid of the overlap for the most part,
right.
unless you go deep into the playoffs. And honestly, NLL takes precedence
sure.
over MLL, and they
right.
understand that.
And the reason I ask that is, when do you have time off? Like, when do you get to just have a personal life, you know, just time to yourself, relax, and,
yeah.
you're not running around with a stick and getting hit with other sticks?
Honestly, it's like a month and a half in the fall that I have off. And then, you know, to be honest, it's coaching every weekend when that's the case, too. So you try to take advantage of bye weeks when you can to get away and, you know, separate yourself from the sport. But honestly, I just love, you know, whether it's playing, coaching, just being involved in the sport, it's honestly, you know, it's not a burden on
sure.
me. It doesn't really weigh me down because I am passionate about everything I do revolving lacrosse.
So you're kind of in the same age group as us. Dave's 37,
right.
I'm 32, you're 31. What is the average age? I guess you're creeping up. In sports terms, you
yep,
are
sure.
an older player. How far do you think you can go? How long are you going to be a Tom Brady of lacrosse, play when you're 42 years old?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, with the growth of the sport, you have more roster positions available. So there's new franchises coming into the NLL, which means you're probably watering the talent down a little bit, but you're also allowing players like myself to play longer in the league. And, you know, based on all the expansion, there's some cool areas to play now, too. So, cool. You know, as I get older, maybe there'll be a Florida team down the road and I can
You're perfectly set up for retirement.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just curious. You've obviously lived most of your life with a stick in your hand. What's the dumbest thing you've ever tossed with a lacrosse stick?
We used to throw snowballs at cars with our lacrosse.
Dude, no, that sounds awesome. That sounds great. Perfect time of year, too.
Yeah,
I might get into the sport.
Yeah, wow. It was the baseball guys who you wanted on your snowball fight team was the baseball guys and the lacrosse players.
That's funny.
They had their sticks.
That's awesome. So, being in this business, we get to do a lot of cool stuff and sometimes stuff that makes you look like an ass. Years ago, when I was at our sister station, our sports station, I think Chris Collins was the goalie at the time. Yep. Right? Is that right? Myself and the two hosts go into the Wells Fargo Center and we get to kind of get – you might have even been there. I'm not positive. No, it was you may have been. Whatever. Doesn't matter. We get to take a breakaway shot on Chris. And I'm running in. I'm like, cradling the ball, running down on a breakaway. And I try to go around him in front of the net and throw it back behind me. I get around him. I go to throw it behind me. I drop the ball and fall flat on my face. And I was searching for the video to try to post it along with this interview. Uh-huh. And I can't. Have you ever been able to do stuff with, you know, the radio shows you do interviews with where someone has just made a full-on fool of themselves in front of you?
We had a media thing last year where there was one of the ladies was pregnant, actually.
Okay.
And, like, someone threw a ball to her, like, just not even, like, you know, just having a toss and, like, threw the ball to her. And it just, like, almost hit her in the face. And it was, like, the scariest thing.
Yeah.
Like, my heart dropped. I was like, oh, my God. Like, we got to watch what we do here. Maybe go with the foam balls
yeah,
next time.
Yeah, really. Seriously. At least, and listen, if she gets hit in the face, that's better when she's pregnant than getting hit in the stomach.
Right, yeah. So that's where I thought it was headed.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
All right. So the home opener. And I have one more question after this, but the home opener this Friday, 7 p.m., against the Vancouver Warriors, who you probably would have cheered for if they were around when you were a kid growing up.
Yeah, they were around, actually. The Vancouver Ravens was the name of the team back
in
the
really?
Day. So
oh, wow.
That was the team I looked up to growing up. So
all right. So
always a little something extra on the line.
All right, cool. And there's dollar hot dogs for the home opener for every fan in attendance. So that's awesome. You know, dollar dogs, you can sit there and scarf down 12 to 15 hot dogs in a game.
I'm going to eat one for every goal that Kevin scores.
All right. Well, what's your
between
us? Well, he's got six in the first three games.
Seriously,
so,
man, two per game. Jeez, I can handle that.
What is?
I got to step it up then.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
He's a garbage disposal. He's the only person on the show that
Bring
is constantly eating at all times. It doesn't matter. All right, I wanted to ask this because you see the fighting in hockey, and there's fighting in lacrosse, and I don't know if the league's trying to dial it back or not, but you guys are wearing sneakers. It's basically a street fight. You're not on skates. You're not slipping and sliding. How do you avoid as much fighting as possible? You know, I'm sure there's line brawls, and you see the videos, and they've always had them. But how do you stay out of these street fights? What do you do?
I think the way the game's kind of gone, it's being more phased out, similar to like it is in hockey. You don't have the enforcers like you used to. But that's not to say that fights don't break out and – you know, emotions run high when you're battling all game, and especially if, you know, you're losing or someone gives you a cheap shot or a combination of both of those, you know, you give them one back and you can be in a fight.
All hell breaks loose.
Yeah. But going to back to avoiding it, I've avoided it my whole professional career.
Smart.
But, you know, it's there's guys in the league, certain guys in the league that you wouldn't mind having someone just pummel their face.
Toughest guy in the wings right now.
Other than myself, I'd have to say, oh man, that's a good question. Eric Shule.
I was going to say, could be Wingston. I saw your mascot. He's massive.
He is massive.
Bigger than Gritty, which I didn't think was possible.
Well, there's a local dude on the team with the last name Rambo.
Get out.
Matt Rambo grew up in the area. Yeah.
Oh, I know that name.
Yeah, he should be the toughest guy on the team.
He's out there with a machine gun, I hope so.
All right, well, the Wings home opener this Friday, 7 p.m., January 10th. Dollar hot dogs for all the fans that are there. So get down there, see the game. It's their home opener. The team's doing well. 2-1 to start the season. Coming off two consecutive wins. You've got four home games this month. And I've been to it. It was years ago when I was at the Wings game, but I had a great time. It's perfect for families. It's perfect for kids that want to learn the game. You can maybe learn from Kevin, and you know, if you have a Wings jersey, wear it. Don't boo him because he's on the Wings now. He's no longer on the
Wings
team.
If you don't have one, buy one. Buy one. With my name on the back.
Damn right. All right, and you can join the party. Tickets on sale now, wingslax.com. Kevin, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. Good luck this season.
Yeah, go
thank
get
you.
Them.
Go
thank
get
you.
Those 50 goals.
Yeah, I will.
We're going to shout it from the rafters so the rest of your teammates know what your goals are. All right?
Sounds good.
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.